I came up here and preached the first time in this church, and it was called not too long afterwards, back in the middle 70s. This is one of the first messages I preached here. It was something that I'd been taught when I was young, and something that I had learned an awful lot about in the time since I had learned it and since I had traveled all over the world and finished my education in seminaries, colleges, universities, and the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock. During all that time, I studied and learned from a lot of different people. And the most accurate that I learned from were those preachers in the landmark Missionary Baptist Church belief taught me when I was very young. And it always stuck with me. So I didn't preach a whole lot on end time events when I first came here for several reasons. And those reasons are not important now. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I was taught when I was very young, I had just started teaching Sunday school, or just started setting in, it was right around that time. And they taught that the rapture would occur on the sounding of the seventh trumpet. So you could understand how when I returned after some 20 years in the military, that I was kind of shocked at what I was taught and what was being taught commonly in all our churches. But I was delighted to discover that there were still some that were teaching what I had been taught. But I gave the others a fair shot. I was honest about it. And eventually, in 1992, I quit running my thing up and down on a chart and saying rapture's going to occur here. And it covered the whole part of the time that most people believe the rapture would be, sounding of the seventh trumpet would be occurring, and different things that had to go with it. So I'm going to give you a review on this, and I intend to finish to the backside of it. What is the biblical nationality of the Antichrist? When I came here, virtually everybody I knew in the Missionary Baptist churches were teaching the first of the week position. And I realized it was going to be a dramatic thing for me to do this. But I knew the history of this thing. I also knew where the rapture position came from, when it first appeared, and what I knew when I was a child in our churches, I found to be much more understandable and much more like the scripture than anywhere in my life, than any other place in my life. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "And then shall that wicked," wicked is capitalized, that represents the Antichrist, "and then shall that wicked be revealed," it means to be completely exposed, completely visibly seen and known to those who had studied the Word. He said, And then shall that wicked be revealed, when the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's going to happen. And that's not too far away. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, with the two parts thereof, shall be cut off, but the third shall be left therein. I put in parentheses, left inside Israel. I am here before a group of people, and I am quite certain that this rapture is going to occur in most of your lifetimes. I doubt if I'll make it, considering my current health. But quite frankly, I'm not all that concerned with it. I know I'm going to be taken because I know I'm saved. And when you say, when they shall say peace and safety, you naturally think, well, we're going to have a peace treaty. It'll be a time when they shall say peace and safety. Matter of fact, Israel's been crying for it for a long time. This country's been crying for it for a long time. All have been crying for it, except those we call our adversaries, for a very long time. It's going to be very brief. The things that are building up on the world scene are going to lead to it. I have no idea who's going to win this coming election. But I'll be as straightforward as I can about it. First of all, I'll tell you, I don't know. But I will tell you that I will be voting for Trump. I believe that Hillary Clinton, I knew her here. I met her at the Mount Nebo thing. She came down here, I think, one time with Bill. She wouldn't take his name when he first came and took the governorship. And so I'm going to vote for Trump. Do I think it's going to make anything change in what I'm about to tell you? No, I really don't. But I have had all this time with Hillary Clinton and done funerals of state policemen and of church members' daughters here. And so that's who I'm going to vote for. But it doesn't matter who wins this next election. As far as this whole era of time is about to collapse. Now in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 and 9, and then shall that wicked be revealed. The wicked is the Antichrist. When the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall with the bitterness and with the bitterness of his coming, with the brightness of his coming. Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, with all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Now in Micah 5:1-9, I've preached that here so many times that you all know what it is. You all know what I'm convinced about it. And this is too late. I'm not changing my mind. But a lot of this has already been fulfilled. I told you why. I made a distinct case for it. And we are now waiting for the time when this war they've got over in Iraq gets controlled. That's probably going to occur at the end of the next administration. I don't mean when it will specifically be controlled. It's already been controlled in the time of Moab and Ammon and Edom. I've told you that many times. I've shown you why, so I won't bother going through it with you again. And we're about to see a brief period of peace. The ISIS are the place that we call the Middle East in Iraq will fall, but they will not be wiped out. And they will circulate more and more, but it will equate to a generally quiet period of time in the Middle East. That's your brief false peace. And then the era of time in the last chapter of, in the 11th chapter of Daniel, he talks about a period of time, 11,085 days. 1,185 days. Then he talks about a time of the actual time in the last chapter of Daniel, that there will be a period of time where there is still future. The first 1,185 days, according to the last chapter of Daniel, will be a time when the nations will think that everything's going to be all right. That won't last very long. Because suddenly, after this false period of peace changes, and everybody says, well, that's the end of all that, then you will see the real Antichrist arise in Greater Syria. If you trace the history of Greater Syria, you will find it was at one time called the land of Assyria. Then it expanded its territory and went all up into a little further north, up to where the Hittites used to live. Then it extended a little bit south and went on from Damascus. It expanded itself all the way down to a place where it halted and things seemed to be on the up and up. But then when everything seemed to be going better and people thought they finally had peace, then what you'll have happen is a sudden invasion by Israel of the southern borders of Syria and of Lebanon. The invader will be Israel. She will suddenly attack, and she will attack from the south. After driving over the first range of mountains, which they have perfected for a defense, they will suddenly run into what has already been built there, which is a huge, long range of weaponry running east to west from the Mediterranean across into northern Iraq. And when Israel attacks, they will have waiting on the other side with their weaponry pointing up the backside of that hill, that mountain, those mountains and a line. And this time, Israel is going to be defeated. They're going to be defeated and they're going to be driven south. And they're going to rush all the way down south. And they will go down the western side of Israel, where it's over toward Libya. They will actually go across northern Egypt. They will take northern Egypt along the coastline. They will then conquer Libya. And they will penetrate all the way across Libya and then drive down south into what was known as Ethiopia in the time that this first attack occurred against Israel, at the time that the case was made for Sumatra, which was not even in existence at that time. It will go all the way down. Ethiopia is a little bit south of there. It will continue to penetrate all the way down to where Ethiopia was. But since this prophecy was written, Ethiopia has extended, the upper portion of it has changed into the Sudan. And the Sudan, they're vicious. I've been over there. I know what I'm talking about. They're the most vicious ones, among the most vicious ones over there. So Ethiopia will be overrun because it will be part of Sumatra. And then there is a line going down the coastline that you'll see on the third chart from the bottom, on the second chart from the bottom. And you will see it extends down on the first chart all the way to Ethiopia, and it will go all the way down to Ammon. Then it will actually conquer Edom, Moab, and Ammon, where they were. They will not conquer Egypt for some time after that, but they will conquer them. And down here in the very lowest part of the chart, there is a millennial type structure. There is no temple in the heaven age. This is the millennial age. And you will see a stream of water, which I have walked in, and I have taken some with me under there, that is coming out of the water source underneath the hills to the west of Jerusalem. I've examined it from one end to the other. And there will be a temple built there, and it will last for about 1,000 years. I'm sorry, not quite that long. Down underneath it, you see this area that is in brown, and that is the Abrahamic land grant. Now, we are headed into this period, the beginning of the millennial reign, the last portion. of this area that is the millennial reign. You will have a period of time where Israel will be trapped in the Negev wilderness. At the end of that time, they will come out and they will be contained within the what they call a Negev wilderness, which is the southern extreme part of Israel. Now, I turn this over because this is going to be something, and whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, I'm not going to leave this planet and tell you that all of a sudden you're going to be raptured out on the first trumpet. That would be a disservice to you. You say, well, Brother Michael, are you sure are talking slow? Well, I know. I want to make sure that I don't make any, I don't want to misspeak. I want to make sure that I put it just exactly like it is. I'm getting older, and I'm having a hard time reading and remembering, among many things. Now, this is the inheritance. This inheritance, the inheritance living with Jesus in his city. God gives salvation so man can live in heaven. Not all who live in heaven will live in the city. Not all will live in the city. The saved who wanted to know why, wanted to know him and live in this city, but they weren't that interested. From the day God saved your soul, he had a plan for you. He knew exactly what he wanted you to do. It's called the foreknowledge of God. I am not a Calvinist. I hate Calvinism. But God does foreknow what you're going to do. But when you hear the word predestinated it, what most people understand that to believe is, here, he puts all the saved people by foreknowledge, not foreknowledge, but by predestination. Way back there when the world was flooded, he took all the saved and he put them over here. They were over here. Oh, no, 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 no. That's Calvinism. It's predestination. He put these over here. This is the doctrine of predestination. They say he picked out all those who he wanted to save, and he put them over here. And then he took all those that he wasn't going to save by predestination, and he predestinated them to be saved, and they had no choice. Now that's Calvinism. But the foreknowledge of God is different. The foreknowledge of God is, God knew you in your mother's womb. God knew you. God created time. And after he created time, he created, by pre-knowledge, his plan until the final heaven age, after which time would be no longer for the generation that was in existence at that time. The inheritance is living with Jesus in his city. God gives salvation. No man can live in heaven. God gives salvation. No man can live in heaven by his own works and his own efforts. The saved who wanted to know about him live in his city. And the degree of their inheritance has to do with how much they chose to surrender their life to him. God didn't want to make us all martyrs. God chose who would be martyred and who would not. He knew what would make us put ourselves in that position. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, the Gentiles, all of them, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you remember about the time that you think you were saved? Well, I can remember mine vehemently. But mine is not based on feeling or emotion. I had tried for some 4 years to do what the scripture said. Exercise repentance toward God and faith toward my Lord Jesus Christ. I tried very hard to keep the commandments of God. I thought that by keeping the commandments of God, maybe I could find favor in His sight, and I would understand what it meant when the Bible indicated salvation by grace and faith, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I sure tried to repent toward Jesus Christ. I listened to sermon after sermon that told me if I didn't repent, I was going to hell. And I listened to many sermons that literally scared me to death. You ever get scared by sermon? Did you get saved without ever being frightened about it? I sure didn't. Did you ever want to be saved and just got so confused and mixed up you didn't know what to Sam Hill to do? I did. You say, well, you were raised in a missionary Baptist church. You should have understood all that. I didn't. You say, whose fault is that? Mine. How do you know? God doesn't make any mistakes. And when he wrote that it was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the word. That's what it says. Is there any emotion involved in it? Yes, up to some point. Finally, one night I was in a service and a preacher got up and he explained that Christ had fulfilled all the law. And then he would go over and show those scriptures in the Bible where the law was, and in the New Testament, where the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ and go forth and so on. What I did not understand is that when I was saved, I had already exercised repentance toward God for 4 years. And I had no desire to go to hell whatsoever. So finally, they kept telling me that the law was to lead us to Christ. And they kept telling me all that. But what they didn't tell me, and I'm not blaming them, what they did not tell me was, after I'm saved, I'm forgiven of all the sins I commit thereafter. I just kept thinking it was those that I committed up to that time. You say, well, you weren't saved. Watch it. I was saved. And I had already repented toward Christ a million times, and I had already thought a million times that He took all my sins in His own body on the tree, but I have never really understood that no matter what happened, I would never go to hell. Never, 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 never. And that He had already fulfilled all the sins I was going in the future. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, good luck. Go ahead. Are you going to be sinless? I mean, do you think you can hold yourself up sinless? Who's going to do that? The Lord. You say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to serve Him. Are you sitting here in this church right now thinking you're going to heaven? Why? Because Jesus took all your sins in His own body on the tree. That's it. And when you finally realized that what a merciful, wonderful God you have, I cried. Nobody saw me. But I kept my head down. But I cried. Because for the first time I realized He hung on that tree and took all my sins in His body. And it was shattering to me. I never felt so sinful in my whole life. I was absolutely miserable. And then suddenly, out of the midst of nowhere, there was a tremendous joy that arose inside me. And I've never been so happy in my whole life. I went from sorrow to happiness. And I walked out that door that night. I went down and I was saved officially in front of the altar. But I was saved a long time before that. And it's a matter of understanding things. That's true with anything in the Bible. I'm going to try to concentrate on the rapture here for a while in the morning, because there's a great deal of joy in understanding how really safe you are and what all the sins were that He took in His own body on the tree, and that He did it personally for every one of you and for every one of His churches. That when you were exercised repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, He opens your heart and you let Him come in. You didn't understand all that. Most of the people that go into a baptistry, and even in our churches, they don't have any understanding of what's happening. You do here, but most of the Protestant churches in this community, they don't have any idea what they're doing. It's just a little ritual they go through. You say, well, am I lost? Not if you repented toward God and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the saved who wanted to know Him live in His city. The saved who came to Him, repented toward God, put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to live on the new earth. Where's the new earth? It's outside the city. What separates it? A wall. What kind of wall is it? It's a wall where those who served God lived in both the Old and New Testament. It's a save. It's for the saved. It's for the saved who served Him. Who makes that decision? God. Why am I a member of this church? I'm a Landmark Missionary Baptist. I came to that conclusion by the Word of God, and I can sit down and prove it to you. What I'm doing here is mostly kid stuff, if you want to know the truth. But I didn't know that until after I was already saved and I began to understand what it meant. Let's take a look at if you're saved, you can understand what I'm talking about, or you can understand enough to reject it. You have that ability. It's up to you. Don't believe something because I say it. Believe it because I show you, because you look at it. What's inside the city wall? The river of the water of life. That's clearly stated in the Bible. The throne of God. That's clearly stated in the Bible. The tree of life. What's the city here? It's the city of the New Jerusalem. It's the last of the cities. It's the city that has the river of life flowing out of it. It's the city that has the tree of life in it. It's a city that has the throne of God. Most of this is spiritual. Matter of fact, this is a spiritual kingdom. You say, well, I have no idea what that will be like. It'll be wonderful. You'll enjoy every second of it. Oh, there won't be any time there. God had to create time before he created the heavens and the earth. You say, I don't know whether I like it or not. I'm gonna romp through it if God will let me, because I want to live there. It's a whole lot better than this. God gave me a wonderful wife. He gave me a wonderful church to pastor. I'm not trying to butter you up. And I'm looking forward to the millennial reign. But there's going to be a mixture down there of people in glorified bodies. Anybody see any angels in here? I do. Where do you see them? In my spirit. That's where I see them. What do I think of them? I thank God for them. And I thank God for helping me through his angels. It's all God's work. You probably think you're going to be seen in the millennium in a glorified body that glows in the dark. I had a Bible scholar one time ask me, does Jesus have legs? Think that over. Does Jesus have legs? The last heaven that we will live in as children of God is the New Jerusalem kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. And the people that are in it are people that will not be seen by those who have come back with the Lord at the end of time. Then we'll go back. Then we'll come back later. And the thing I'm really looking forward to more than anything else is this, the prize. And there's a place that we run the race. That's the New Testament church that we're in. We teach the doctrines that were given to this church. This is a church building. But this over here at the end, the prize, the city of the Holy God, the city of the Lord. We're going to look like we want to look like. And like God lets us live. And the race that you're running right now is a race to see where you live in heaven and what kind of clothes you wear in heaven. And what kind of a reward you have waiting for you, because you believed in the inheritance. And you believed after you were saved, as the Holy Spirit convicted you. I need to be in church more often. Is that too practical? You say, well, you're talking a little different right now. No, the church is the body of Christ, not the building. It's the people that are in it that believe that God rewards those who serve Him. Well, how do you get to go into that gate? Well, it's time to quit. So I'm going to be on in Sunday morning. Maybe I'll be a little better organized than I am now. I preached this many years ago. And I've learned an awful lot about it. I've also learned an awful lot about the rapture. I'm going to go back and spend more time on the rapture. Not because I can't preach anything else. But this is something that I did a long, long time ago. And it's something that's very, very important. So for the next, you say, well, we don't believe it. You're always switching subjects. Well, well done. Well done, my good and faithful folks. I just want to keep you on your toes. So I'm going to be talking about this for a long time. Because I believe that the war is going to start after the next administration leaves office. You say, oh, what makes you think the next administration is going to leave office? Open your eyes and read what it says. Because if you can't see at the coming of the Lord and everything He said was going to be coming, I can't help you. If you want one scripture that just tells you that, it tells you that, well, I'll talk about that next Sunday. And I am 1 minute over.